Welcome to the Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanaleah Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf Aleph, Chapter 21. We ended the last perek with the re-establishment of David's Melucha after the turmoil of the last few prakim. The revolts of Avshalom and Sheva ben Bichri are over, and when I sat down to prepare this perek, I was hopeful for a perek speaking about the peace and calm of his Melucha. But this is not the life that David HaMelech, the Mechaber of Sefer Tehillim, which carries us through every conceivable hard time we could meet in our lives, this is not the life he can have. And so we have to deal with yet another difficult chapter. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayihi ra'av b'mei David, and there was a ra'av in the time of David, shalai shanim, 3 years, shana acharei shana, year after year. Vayivakesh David es pnei Hashem, and David asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. What is this? Why are we struggling with this? Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem says, El Sha'ul, because of Sha'ul, ve'el beis hadamim, and because the house of blood, asher hemis es ha-giv'onim, because he killed out the giv'onim. This is the first famine that we have in Tanakh since the famine in the days of Yaakov Avinu, and we want to understand. There are many introductions we need to make to this parak. The famine went on for 3 years. It says that for each of the 3 years, David tried to figure out what was wrong. That's why it says, Shana acharei Shana, year after year. The first year he said, maybe there are idol worshippers, but they couldn't find any. Then he said, maybe there are immoral people. Maybe there's Baalei Avera here, but he couldn't find them. And during the third year, he said, maybe there are people who said they would give money to tzedakah, and they didn't, but they couldn't find that either. Each year had its own bedikah, and so Vayivakesh David es pnei Hashem, he asked the Urim V'Tumim. Of course he must have asked the Urim V'Tumim many times during the 3 years, but he didn't get a response. The Da'as Sofrim says that this is because the purpose of tzaris, of peronios, of difficult things that happens, is so that we should examine our ways, meaning that there's a great purpose in the work that had been done during the 3 years. But by the time they got to the end of it, they were desperate. So David cried out and begged Hashem that please let the Urim V'Tumim respond. And the response he got was twofold. There was an El Sha'ul, firstly, because you weren't Maspid Sha'ul properly. Klal Yisrael didn't mourn Sha'ul the way they were meant to. And also because Sha'ul killed the Giv'onim. When did Sha'ul kill the Giv'onim? When Sha'ul killed out Noiv Ir HaKohanim, back in Shmuel Aleph, according to Rashi, he also killed some of the Giv'onim who lived there. Rashi actually lists 7. There were 7 Giv'onim who were killed. Or, perhaps, the Kohanim used to give the Giv'onim food, and once they were gone, the Giv'onim were starving, and so it's as if Sha'ul killed them because he killed out their source of livelihood. Who are these Giv'onim? Back in the time of Yehoshua, when Yehoshua came to Eretz Canaan, they offered peace to the Canaanim. They came b'shalom. The Canaanim, of course, refused it, and then that grace period is over. And now we have the chiyuv either to kill any Canaani that we find in Eretz Yisrael, or they have to leave the land. They can no longer convert, which was the part of what was being offered to them in the time of peace. Now, you can't convert anymore. You can't come and join our nation and thereby escape your death. You either have to leave or we're going to kill you. The Giv'onim didn't want to leave, so they dressed up as if they had come from a faraway place, and they were Canaanim, and they come to Yeshua, and they said to him, we're coming from far away and we want to convert. And Yeshua accepted their story. Even after their deception was uncovered, Yeshua allowed them to stay as converts because he felt it would be a chilul Hashem if he would send them away at this point. But he said they would have to be water carriers and wood choppers, menial laborers for the Mishkan, which is why they were in Nov. When Nov was destroyed, they were left helpless. No one really paid any attention to them. And for this, Shaul's family is going to get a devastating punishment. And it tells us how careful we must be with Kavod HaBrias. These people only joined through deception, and yet, because they were helpless, we are held responsible for mistreating them. We have to realize that the tiny details, the small details, can have terribly big ramifications, and the effect that a lack in Bein Adam L'Chaveri can have. A small group of Giv'onim who came in just by deception, and such a terrible impact. And like, we have to imagine the picture when Noiv Ir HaKohanim was wiped out, 85 Kohanim and their families, there must have been massive trauma in Klal Yisrael and destruction, and so much that they were thinking about. And yet we have to pay attention to the little people too. The Givonim lost their livelihood. Someone lost their home. All these things need to be paid attention to. It seems like besides these seven Givonim and besides the Givonim who lost their livelihood, Shaul had tried to kill out the Givonim in general. He felt that the whole deception was wrong. They shouldn't be here. They shouldn't be part of us. What's interesting is, in the place where we find the mistake of Shaul in having these Givonim killed or not taking care of the ones who are left, we also find his praise that there's two reasons this famine came. One is because of what he did to the Givonim, but before that, it's because you, Klal Yisrael, didn't recognize the godless of Shaul enough. Where we find the weakness of Shaul, we also find his praise. And this is for two reasons. Firstly, because we want to remind ourselves now and always that Shaul was a huge tzaddik, and although he made some mistakes, he is deserving of all praise. The Navi gives us a very narrow view, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with tzaddikim to the minutest detail. They are held accountable for all their actions, and that's what we see in the Navi. But we always have to remember this, and we've been saying this throughout Shmuel Beis. There's a whole other side that we have to always remember. Shaul was a huge tzaddik, one. Two, on the other hand, the Sefarna on the Pasuk that says, V'lo yikach shoychad, that Hashem doesn't take bribes. The Sefarna explains that a person could be a huge tzaddik, but if he is guilty of something, his tzitzkus is not going to help him, which means that it doesn't balance out. You're not allowed to say, I've been so good, I've done so many mitzvahs, so now I can do an avera, and it will balance out, right? All the mitzvot I do will balance out that avera. It doesn't work that way. You get the reward for what you get reward for, and nobody can take that away from you. But if a person sins, he is going to have to go through the cleansing process of that sin, no matter how great he is. So to explain this again, in summary, Shaul made a mistake. Why does all of Klal Yisrael have to suffer? Meaning, we'll see the direct punishment is coming to Shaul, will come to Shaul's family here. But why the Ra'av? Why the 3 years of Ra'av? That's because we also have a problem. And the problem we have is that we weren't maspid Shaul properly enough. The Aruch Laner says something very interesting. He says the importance of going to a Levaya and giving the proper respect is that when a person hears a hesped, he hears a eulogy, then he is inspired to do good. Then the good that he does, the merit of that goes to the Nifter, which means that the Nifter becomes in a better place and we live through his inspiration. And perhaps had we been more inspired, had there been more eulogies for Shaul, then his merit would have gone up, and it would have helped him in this area with the Chilul Hashem of the Givonim that was made by not helping to sustain the Goinim. Another point here is that the Ra'av was really supposed to come in the days of Shaul. However, Shaul wasn't strong enough, the generation wasn't strong enough, and had the tests come then they wouldn't have had the strength to deal with it properly. So he waited until David's generation to get the Tzara. Sometimes something is coming to Klal Yisrael, and it has to be at a time when the reaction will be productive. Wouldn't have been productive in the times of Shaul. Wouldn't have even been productive at the times, the beginning years of David, when he was busy with all the strife and the machlekas that was going on. And what it tells me is that sometimes a tzara comes, sometimes we're in a terrible time of destruction or of tragedy or of trying to figure things out, and we try and figure out, why is this coming to us? Why is this happening to us? And it's an important journey to make, like I started with, like the Das Seifrim says, that's what we have to do when a tzara comes to us. But we sometimes have to be satisfied with the answer of, we don't really know why. We don't really know why. We have to become better people all around, but we can't pinpoint, oh, it's because of this action or that action, because nobody could have figured out that the 3 years of famine is coming because we didn't give Shaul the hespedim that he deserved. You needed a Navi to tell you that. We don't have Naviim today. So, of course, when we're in an Ace Tzara as we are, we have to try and be better all around, but we can't say, oh, this is happening because of this. We have to try and figure out, how can I become a better person? In Pasuk Beis, Vayikra HaMelech LaGivonim, Vayomer Aleihem, and the king called to the Givonim. He's called the king because he's not acting here on his own, and there is no doubt at all that there's any personal gain of revenge or anything from his actions. Vayomer Aleihem, and he said to them, It doesn't say what he said to them right away here, but he said to them, he explained to them that the Jews are being punished because of them. And then, V'ha-giv'onim lo'imim b'nei Yisrael heima. The giv'onim are not from B'nai Yisrael, ki'imi yeser ha-amari. They are left over from the seven nations that lived in Klal Yisrael. They are from the Amari. Had they been real Jews, had they been authentic Jews, they would have immediately declared that they didn't want anyone to be punished because of them, and they would have davened for them, as we do. Meaning, sometimes we're in a situation where somebody really hurt us, somebody really wronged us. No one, not one of us, would want that person to suffer because of what they did to me, because we are Rachmanim, we have Rachmanis. So I could be upset, I could be angry, I could be hurt. But Chas v'Shalom, I don't want that person to have to suffer because of me. But the Givinim were not Jews. They were cruel. And because of this, for all eternity, they will never be able to be totally accepted b'Kahal Hashem. They'll never be included in Kahal Hashem because of this midah that they have of cruelty. And we asked, David asked the Givinim, what can we do to appease you? And the Givinim said, we need seven descendants of Shaul to hang. Give us seven descendants of Shaul and we are going to hang them. With this, we are going to be appeased and then the Ra'av will stop. The whole nation, the king and all of the advisors came to beg them, take all the money in the world. But they weren't satisfied. They said, we need to see the bodies of the children of Shaul hanging. And even though this happened years ago, we're not willing to allow this famine to end until we see this punishment happening. From the disgrace of the Givinim, we can see the godless of the Jews, that even though the Kohanim were much more affected by the killing out of the city of Nov, we never see anything. There's no story, there's no asking for revenge, there's no nothing. So what we learn from their baseness, we learn about our godless. The Radak asks, how could it be that children will die for the sins of their fathers? It was Shaul's problem that Nov Irakonim was killed and thereby the Givinim were also killed. Why do the sons have to suffer? We don't see children dying for their father's sins. And he says it's possible that they were also responsible for some of the deaths in Nov, or perhaps they didn't do anything to fix the problem by taking care of the Givinim afterwards, and therefore they are going to get this punishment as well. And then in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Vayachmal HaMelech al Mephibosheth ben Yohanan ben Shaul, when the seven members of Shaul's family who were going to be picked to be killed were being picked, David had pity on Mephibosheth ben Yohanan because al shvuas Hashem asher b'inaysam, because they had made a promise to each other, a commitment to each other, ben David uben Yohanan ben Shaul, that David had promised Yohanan that he was going to take care of his offspring. Vayachmal HaMelech, it was the king again to reaffirm that he was doing this as a king without any real choice and not because of any personal vengeance and any personal desire. How were the seven picked? He passed them all before the Aron, and the Aron somehow indicated which ones should die. And it seems like the Vayachmal, the pity that he had, is either didn't pass Mephibosheth in front of the Aron, or when he was passing him, he davened that the Aron shouldn't pick him. It's unclear how exactly the Aron picked the people, but whatever the case was, it must have been clear to everyone that it wasn't the king who was picking the seven, but it was coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And who was taken? It was two children of Ritzpah Bas Aya and five of Michal. Michal, who we know to be the wife of David. And it says, Michal asher yolda la'adriel ben Barzillai hamcholasi, who she gave birth to with Adriel ben Barzillai hamcholasi. And what Chazal tell us is these children were not really Michal's children. They were Merav's children. But Merav had died and Michal had brought them up. And this teaches us that Kol ha-megadol yosam v'yosayma b'saych b'saych, if you bring up somebody else's child in your house, ki'ilu yoldai, it's as if you gave birth to them. If they were raised by Michal, it means that whose house did they grow up in? It means that they grew up in David HaMelech's house, raised by a wife whom he loved, and yet there's no favoritism in this way, which tells us that his saving Mephibosheth was not because he was being showing favoritism to him, it's because of the bris that he had made. And he allowed his 5 adoptive children to be killed because there was no favoritism, because it wasn't him who was choosing them, and it was Hashem who was choosing them. And it was because of the promise that he had made to Yonasan. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Vayitnei biyata givaynim, and he gave them to the givaynim, Vayokium bahar lifnei Hashem, and they hung them on the mountain before Hashem. The lifnei Hashem tells us that everything that was done with the guidance of the Urim v'Tumim. There is nothing that David did on his own. And he gives them to the givaynim, and the givaynim hang them, and they are, even though there is a halacha that if a person is killed by Beis Din and has to hang on a tree, he has to be taken down by that night. However, these hung for many, many, many months. And the reason that they hung for many months, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishurma Bishimon Bar Yoi Tzadok, it was in order to make a Kiddush Hashem. When people would ask, why are they there? Who are these people? Who are these people hanging? They would hear that it was the sons, these are sons of kings who are killed because they didn't take care of some lowly converts. And they said, if this is what happens to sons of kings who are not expected to take care of the lowly people, meaning they're the noblemen, and they are punished because they didn't take care of lowly converts, imagine if they were just regular people, how well they must take care of other Jews. Meaning, look at how strict and how stringent HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that just because they didn't take care of some lowly converts, he chooses like the sons of kings to have to hang. We learn from here how Jews take care of Jews and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects his children to take care of each other. And 150,000 people converted. Meaning, there was a Chilul Hashem that was made by Shaul's actions, that we told these people they could come and they could join our nation, and then we didn't take good enough care of them. It's going to be undone by the Kiddush Hashem that's going to be made now, by people realizing and understanding how great the Jewish nation is. There are 3 things that were done here, b'hira'as sha'a, meaning there were 3 things that were done here. It had to be a direct command from Alpi Nevuah, because there are things that could not happen. Sons should not die for the sins of their fathers. They should not hang overnight, and here they hung for days, for months. And also, in a Beis Din, you don't kill more than one person a day, and here all 7 of them die together. Ritzpah Bas Aya takes her tent and she stays with the corpses. We don't see Michal doing a similar act. It could be that Michal wasn't alive anymore. Ritzpah must have been very old. And she made sure that the animals left them alone. She made sure that the animals didn't come and attack them. She said, if the whole point here is the Kiddush Hashem, then I need them to be protected. When David heard this, that Ritzpah had taken, had set up a tent right near the corpses, he went and he got the bones of Shaul and Yehonasan that had been taken by the war. They had been saved by the war. And he went and he got them. The Chazal tell us that they had been preserved. And he makes another very, very large hesped for them. And he buried them together with these 7. It's interesting that the only hesped we actually have in Tanakh, and if you've been following us through our journey through Shmuel Beis, you'll remember that David does make a hesped for Shaul, but it seems like amongst Klal Yisrael there wasn't enough devastation and recognition of the person that had been lost, and how the world without a Shaul HaMelech was a very different world than the world with Shaul HaMelech. The parak ends, and so he righted it now by making another hesped for him. The parak ends with a list of wars that David fights against the leftover Plishtim and how he wins these wars with the help of Avishai. There are fascinating stories in Midrashim about these wars. The Psukim describe them as fierce warriors and gives us details, like the one who got a new sword that day and was looking to inaugurate it with a big win, or the one who had 6 fingers and toes on each hand and foot, describing how big he was. We're not going to go into the details, although it's definitely worth taking a look at them. A lot of unknown stories about David HaMelech. But when David almost dies in one of the wars, Az Nishbu'u Anche David, Lai Lemar, then the people of David made him swear, saying, Lai Seitei Oid Itanu LaMilchama, we are not letting you go out with us anymore to war. Don't come out with us anymore, because imagine if you would die in war. V'lei sechabe es ner Yisrael. You are the ner Yisrael. You are the candle, the light of Yisrael. and we can't afford to have you die in battle. When he is victorious, he is going to sing a shira, which we are going to see in the next parak. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilui nishmot imahotenu ha'yikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Allah ha'shalom, and Sarah Shenker, Allah ha'shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacies to the next generations.